Track 9. This is all the latest news once more from the sports desk. Brian Gall reporting. Last Saturday afternoon saw me in Chester following Stourbridge Rugby in their match against the local side, who had completely whitewashed Stourbridge in last season's corresponding match. It did not heighten the visiting supporters' hopes that Chester this season are one of the top sides in the league, and the first half of this match threatened a repeat of last season's debacle. During that opening half, Stourbridge had plenty possession of the ball, but did little or nothing with it. Chester, by contrast, visited the Stourbridge defensive end only three times, but scored a try on each occasion. The home side led by 19 points to 3 as the second half began, but Stourbridge suddenly seemed to have realised that their team this season includes a speedy fullback and equally swift wing three quarters. They had the bright idea of feeding the ball to these players. Two tries resulted. Chester's only response, a successful penalty kick. And then the Stourbridge left winger combined a delightful chip ahead with a deadly dash through the home defence to touch down under the posts. And with a quarter of an hour of the match remaining, the scores were tied at 22-all. Chester had one last gasp of energy left and they broke out of their own end. The ball was switched rapidly through several hands and they were able to touch down in the corner for their fourth try. Stourbridge, in the end, were unable to counter that and lost the match by 27 points to 22. It was certainly entertaining in the second half, but why did they not use the pace of their backs before the half-time break? Meanwhile, Stourbridge Lions, the amateur side who share Stourton Park, are exactly mid-table in the Midlands 1 West League this season, where they've won four matches so far and lost four. They succumbed 13-0 at home last weekend against Worcester, which must have been a disappointment as the Worcester club had lost four matches in succession prior to this fixture. The Lions have added a novel feature to their home matches this season. Where their opponents agree, their home matches are being played on Friday evenings under floodlights at Stourton Park and are attracting good crowds who clearly appreciate being able to watch a game of rugby and swallow a couple of beers. This coming Saturday sees the start of the autumn series of international matches against teams from the Southern Hemisphere. In fact, only England seem involved on this first weekend, playing South Africa at Twickenham, while Wales and Scotland occupy the time playing each other, and Ireland are due to meet Italy. I shudder at the memory of what happened to Scotland in the Six Nations at Cardiff last February. Later in November, New Zealand, Australia, Argentina and Fiji will all join the party. Now for the soccer news, where Stourbridge, the Glass Boys, made their second exit from a cup competition within a week. Having been dispatched in the fourth qualifying round of the FA Cup the week before, on Saturday the team travelled to meet Kettering Town in the first round of the FA Trophy competition. This match may have had more significance than a mere cup tie. Kettering are currently top of the Evostick Premier Division Central, in which Stourbridge lie in third place, so the two teams are clearly promotion rivals. If that is the case, when they come to meet again in the league at a critical stage of the season, Glass Boys will do well to polish their finishing skills. They lost on Saturday by 2-0, but had several chances to score, all of which they squandered. Kettering were more clinical, took an early lead in the match and made the result safe with a second goal near the end. Stourbridge played quite nice football out on the pitch, but they were just unable to finish. But their priority this season is promotion, and they'll be back in league action this weekend when Lowestoft are the visitors. Stourbridge, currently third in the league table, will be playing the 19th team near the bottom, and so a home win should be on the cards, and 3 points are definitely very much required. Amongst the senior West Midlands clubs, Birmingham City are currently top of the class. They made a poor start to the season last August, and in fact they didn't win their first match until quite near the end of September. But since then they have been on fire and they've surged up the league table and are currently within 2 points of the playoff positions. Included in their run was an excellent away win at Leeds United, and last weekend they beat Sheffield Wednesday at home by 3-1. By contrast, Villa are sinking down the league table. They had started the season quite well, but lately their results have been poor. And while I wouldn't say they're exactly threatening to join the relegation battle, they are struggling somewhat and they need to improve their lot. Wolves, too, are in a bit of a down. They started brilliantly when they were promoted to the Premier League at the beginning of the season, but their last two matches have both ended in defeat. Sunday saw the next round of Formula One competition this year in motor racing, and I'm pleased to report that Lewis Hamilton has achieved the status of being world champion for 2018. He didn't win the race on Sunday, he only finished fourth, and he spent much of the time on his car radio complaining about the state of his tyres, but fourth place was sufficient. His only rival for the title this year, Sebastian Vettel, who drives for Ferrari, did finish ahead of him, but only in second place. And as long as he didn't win and Hamilton picked up no points, that made the title safe for the English driver, as he has only two more races this season and he's so far ahead now he can't be caught. This was his fifth title in all since about 10 years ago when he won the first one, and only Michael Schumacher has a better record than that. He's won seven. Hamilton in second place with five victories overall through his career, the same as the mighty Juan Fangio many years ago. Cricket still going on in Sri Lanka. The England team, having won their series of matches at 50 overs aside, had one 2020 match against the home nation this week, which they won fairly comfortably. England were put into bat by Sri Lanka, who won the toss. Jason Roy was England's top scorer with 69, and they made a total of 187. Having done that, they then bowled out the home side for 157, so a victory by 30 runs. Denley, with four wickets for 19 runs, and Rashid for three for 11, destroyed the home team and made victory fairly straightforward. The test series between these two sides starts next week. Also on Sunday, we saw the final match of the three national NFL National Football League matches at Wembley, where the American teams come over here and display their wares. My promised ticket for one of these games failed to materialise, unfortunately. And in this one, I would have seen the Philadelphia Eagles beat the Jacksonville Jaguars by 24 points to 18. Not one of the better games I've ever watched on television, but it was quite close, and the 85,000 people in the audience seemed to enjoy it. That size of crowd has again revived the stories of a London team joining the NFL, and the Jacksonville would probably be the team who did that. They would move from their American base over here. Their owner is the man who also owns Fulham Football Club, and he was the guy who was attempting to purchase the Wembley Stadium, although that seems to have been put on ice for the time being. Whether these rumours will come to pass, we'll find out. This coming weekend, I'm looking forward to the international rugby series of matches, but I shall be at Stourton Park on Saturday afternoon for Stourbridge versus Fylde. Two mid-table sides, these, but should be a competitive match, and I'll bring you news of that and all the other sporting action next week. Until then, it's goodbye from Brian Gore.